2 Timothy, chapter 2, and verses 11 to 13. Let me read the verses to you. Paul, writing to Timothy, says, "Here is a trustworthy saying. If we died with him," and the him, of course, is Christ Jesus, as he says in verse 10, "if we died with Christ Jesus, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we disown him, he will also disown us. If we are faithless, he will remain faithful, for he cannot disown himself." This is a brief discourse, as you know, and I'm going to concentrate mainly on verse 11. If we died with the Lord Jesus Christ, we will also live with him. I will mention the other verses, but that's what I want to concentrate on. If we died with the Lord Jesus Christ, we will also live with him. This is a short discourse, but it's a very, very big subject. It's a very much a neglected subject, and where it is thought about, it is often misunderstood. The hymn books, for example, usually show that they don't understand the subject we are looking at here. If we died with the Lord Jesus Christ, we will also live with him. You can see that this little section is rather unusual. Here is a trustworthy saying. Well, there's other places in Timothy where you get this, but this little section seems to be a kind of creed or hymn or a list of well-known sayings or pithy epigrams or whatever you might like to say. So it's a bit unusual. But what do we have here then? It's truth caught in a very short compass. Paul is not sort of discoursing on it and expatiating on it and expounding it. He's simply giving punchy kind of proverbs, kind of sayings which we can take into our minds and hearts and dwell upon, and we should do. If we died with the Lord Jesus Christ, we will also live with him. Now, what I'd like to do is call for your assessment of what Paul is saying here. And I'd ask you to look at verse 11 and take it on into verse 12 and 13. And what do you think he is saying in verse 11? Now, you wouldn't be on your own if you took the view that, well, the context here is enduring and suffering and so on, and giving in perhaps under persecution. Perhaps that's the thought here. And, well, if we do stand for Christ and we have to die with him as a martyr, nevertheless, brothers, don't forget, says Paul, we will also live with him. Perhaps he's nerving Timothy, because Timothy is a weak and doubting man. He needs reassurance, and perhaps Paul is giving him reassurance. Now, Timothy, even if it gets so bad at Ephesus, and Ephesus is a terrible place where you are, I know it is, but if you have even have to die with him, with Christ, don't forget, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, and you will live with him. And of course, for all of us in Christ, we eventually have to die, unless Christ shall come back before our death, but we shall have to die, but nevertheless, we shall reign with him. And of course, it's comfort for us to think about our believing dead, the friends and family and loved ones that we have buried. If we die with him, if we're in Christ, if we're believers, we will also have everlasting life. Is that what he's saying? Well, it's all true, but that's not what he's saying at all. By a long shot, that's not what he's saying here. He doesn't say, if we eventually do die with him. It's in the past tense. If we died. It's in the past. If something has happened. And of course, if doesn't mean if. I mean, if It does mean, yeah, but if means since here, it's a way of arguing. If I do this, you do that. If I suggest to you, if x equals 2, then 2x equals 4. We're taught maths. If x is 5, then 2x is 10. If an apple costs a penny, then 2 apples cost 2 pennies, and so on. If we died with him, since we died with him, he's looking back to an event, to a circumstance in the past, and he's taking it for granted for all believers. And this is something true for all believers. If we died, since we died with Christ, what is he talking about? He's not talking about our martyr's death. He's not talking about dying from old age. He's talking about the spiritual experience when we died to what we were in Adam and we were made alive in Christ. He's talking about the transformation, Colossians 1:13, of us being taken out of Adam, out of the realm of darkness, out of the realm of Satan, this present evil age, Galatians 1, rescued from this present evil age, transferred, translated into Christ, into this kingdom of Christ, into this realm of Christ, into the kingdom of Christ. If we died with him, we will also live with him. This is Romans chapter 6. You remember Martin Lloyd-Jones used to be asked, when are you going to preach on Romans? He said, when I understand Romans 6. He knew that Romans 6 was the pivot, the key. And he had to understand Romans 6. When he did, then he would preach and teach Romans. Eventually he came to try two sermons on Romans 6, found they went well, and he started his discourses on the letter to the Romans. I've written briefly on this recently, on Romans 6, in the hinge of Romans 1 to 8, an answer to N.T. Wright. And if you want to see my thoughts on that, you can, where I develop this a little more. But Romans 6, what do we have here? When Paul writes to the Romans, he says, should we go on sinning? In the light of all the gospel I've put before you, so that grace may increase. By no means, he said, God forbid. We died to sin. Now hear the echoes of my passage in 2 Timothy. We died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. Now the baptism there, you'll have to read my book The Hinge to see my full arguments. The baptism there is not water baptism. It's certainly not baby sprinkling. It's not baptism or regeneration by water. It's spiritual baptism. It's regeneration. It's union to Christ. When we believe, as we believe, as we trust Christ, what happens is that we are brought into Christ. And the phrase in Christ comes repeatedly through the New Testament. And it means this union with Christ. So all that Christ is to God, all that Christ has done, all that Christ is in his person before God is laid to us. We are in Christ and Christ is formed in us. As Paul writes to the Ephesians, and he says this in chapter 1, verses 13 to 14. You also were included in Christ Jesus. You also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. You have to hear the gospel. This is what conversion is. It's coming out of Adam into Christ. You hear the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having heard it, having heard this gospel, having believed, you trust not only the word of the gospel, not only the promise of the gospel, but the Christ of the gospel. Having trusted Christ, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory. My point here, though, is you were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel, and you believed. As you believe, you come in to Christ. You are included in Christ. Romans 6, Ephesians 1, 1 Peter 4, the suffering as you open that chapter there, it's not simply suffering, it's death. And Christ died under sin. He was made sin for us, says Paul to the Romans. And he died under sin. And he who has died is finished with sin. Arm yourself, says Peter, with the same mind. You are in Christ. Romans 6, you have died with him. You have been taken out of Adam into Christ. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. 1 Corinthians 15. And all these passages combine together to show us that this is what Paul is talking about here in our text. If we died with him, since we died with him, we all will also live with him. We live now. We are raised to newness of life. Ephesians 2, where are we sitting? Where are you sitting now? Are you a believer? You're sitting in your armchair, sitting in the car, whatever it might be. No. Well, you are. But where are you? You're seated in heavenly places in Christ already. Spiritually speaking, how does God view you, my brother, my sister? You're a sinner, aren't you? You fail, you stumble. The devil tells you. The world tells you. Your flesh tells you. The church tells you. Oh, yes. Yeah, we know. Everybody's telling you, and you know it, and you feel it. Do you know what God says to you? You are without spot, or stain, or wrinkle, or any such thing. For if any man be in Christ Jesus, he is a new creature, a new creation. And there is no condemnation to any man who is in Christ. Where do I get those things from? Well, I got it from Romans. I got it from Corinthians. I got it from other places in Scripture, all over the place. It's all throughout the New Testament. Ephesians 5. Paul pictures the spiritual experience as close as he can to this. The best illustration you can use in Ephesians 5 is marriage, the union of a man and woman. That's as close as it can become, as it were. But even that's not enough, because in Christ we are identified with Christ. We are one with Christ. My friend, believer, would you be assured? Would you have confidence? Would you have hope? Would you have strength? Would you have sanctification? Where are you looking? Oh, look to the law, they say. Look to the law. Look to your works. Look to this. Look to Christ. Remember that you are in Christ. You died with him. You will live with him. You are living with him now. You are raised. Death has no more dominion over you. Sin has no more dominion over you. In the sight of God, you are accounted righteous. This is what conversion is, unbeliever. It's not just assenting to a list of doctrines. It's trusting the Christ. And although you can't see it or feel it or understand it, I can't understand it, we are at that very instant taken out of Adam and all that he is and all his condemnation, and we're taken into Christ, and we're given all the glories and the wonders of Christ. John 17, that I may be in them, they may be in us, we together. It's a tremendous union. We have the divine nature, says Peter in his second letter. Many, many such scriptures. And of course he goes on to say about endurance and reigning and disowning and being faithless. Paul is using this great doctrine, this great principle. We are in Christ and Christ is in us. We are united to Christ. He is one with us. We are united to him. And he's using this glorious doctrine to stir us to stand firm for Christ. Not, how can I deny him, he who loved me? I can't deny him, I'm in him. I'm a member, I'm one of his members. He's in me and I am in him. Same for you, my believer and friend. Let us look at one another in that regard. You can look at me and see my sins and failures. You can see my disposition and my personality traits. And you know, and it's not very pleasant perhaps at times. And perhaps I can do the same for you. But let's look at the reality of things. You are in Christ and so am I. Christ has forgiven us all our sins. Can't we forgive each other? Can't we love each other? Can't we nurture each other with this kind of spirit of union to Christ? This is what it is. This is what Paul is saying to Timothy. Remember this, Timothy. Let the believers remember this. Keep reminding them of it. This. You'll see this phrase in Christ over and over in the New Testament. Whenever you see it, remember, if we died with him, no, we did die with him. We are in him, in Christ, united to him in his death, burial, resurrection. Yes, it's a glorious, glorious truth. I'm glad to say that the Good News Bible, perhaps for all its faults, does translate that phrase very wonderfully, participation in Christ, union to Christ, being in Christ. That's how they translate it, union with Christ. And it's a lovely translation because that's precisely what it means. All that Christ is to the Father, I am. Isn't that wonderful? In amazing grace. Unfortunately, the hymn writers and the hymn books mostly don't understand it. Lloyd Jones confessed that he couldn't find one hymn in the congregational hymn book that was right. They misunderstand this subject. They think it means consecration. It does mean consecration, but only as a result of this glorious doctrine. But I have a hymn for you, and I'm going to close with it. Unbeliever, this is what you need. Just ticking off the doctrines. You need Christ, and all this privilege will be yours. So come to him, I plead with you. But believer, this is a word for you, and for me mostly. Let us cultivate this thought. We are in Christ, and once in him forever. Now let me give this hymn. This is by James George Deck. And Deck understood this doctrine. Let me read it to you. Lord Jesus, are we one with thee? O height, O depth of love, with thee we died upon the tree, in thee we live above. Such was thy grace, that for our sake thou didst from heaven come down, thou didst of flesh and blood partake, in all our sorrows one. Our sins, our guilt, in love divine confessed and borne by thee, the gall, the curse, the wrath were thine, to set thy members free. Ascended now in glory bright, still one with us thou art. Nor life nor death, death nor depth nor height, thy saints and thee can part. Oh, teach us, Lord, to know and own this wondrous mystery, that thou with us art truly one, and we are one with thee. Soon, soon shall come that glorious day when, seated on thy throne, thou shalt to wondering worlds display that thou with us art one. Well, marvelous truth is there. Christ took all my sin, friend. This is what the believer can say. Christ took all my sin, and I take all his righteousness. And one day, he will show to the world, to the universe, how glorious I am because I'm in him. It's an indescribable wonder. Paul says to the Galatians, we were crucified with Christ. We were crucified with Christ. Now let us live for him. That verse by Isaac Watts in When I Survey the Wondrous Cross, often left out, speaks of Christ. His dying crimson, like a robe, spreads o'er his body on the tree. Then am I dead to all the globe, and all the globe is dead to me. And our text, since we died with the Lord Jesus Christ, we will also live with him. Let us go and show it, my friend. Let us remember it and dwell upon it and be thankful.